This is a free Off the Ball podcast. For access to the best football analysis from the likes of Kevin Kilbane, Dion Fanning, Owen Doyle, Keith Tracy, Henry Winter and lots more, become an Off the Ball member today.
Join in the obsession.
Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Off the Ball's Football Daily.
Hello and welcome to Monday's Football Daily. I'm Phil Egan. Coming up today, Manchester United get off the mark with Marcus Rashford back in the starting 11 for the first time since 2024. Shamrock Rovers come from behind to earn a vital point away to Derry City to keep the chasing pack off their tails in the League of Ireland. And with the transfer window set to close tomorrow, we'll bring you some of the latest moves and rumours ahead of the deadline. But first, Manchester United bounced back from their opening Premier League defeat in style with a 5-2 win at home to Ipswich. United came from behind and captain Bruno Fernandes scored a hat-trick at Old Trafford. Michael Carrick says his players showed great character.
Biggest thing from today really was the mentality of the boys, you know. To overcome setbacks, you know, we're going to have them. Every team that ends up being successful has them. It depends how you deal with them and how quickly you deal with them. And we had one last week. We had a little one today. And I have to say the way the boys responded and took it on, I think, I was really pleased with that.
Bruno Fernandes said it was great to get back on the score sheet.
It's the best feeling in football, obviously, and then doing an hat-trick in the game at home with our fans, it's something amazing that I'm very proud of. But the main thing is that I need to score goals to help the team to win games.
Keith Tracy joined me on commentary yesterday, and on the final whistle, he said there was a lot of positives in his performance.
It's probably the other two, if we could focus on Maynou in central midfield and then Rashford on the left. That was his first start for United since December 2024.
Yeah, and look, there's a lot to like from Marcus Rashford. When he gets the ball, every right back there, O'Shea, you don't want to get too tight with him because he can make it look very silly very, very quickly. His season last season at Barcelona again leads you to believe that he could be a brilliant player for Manchester United again. But I think the biggest two cheers he got of the day was when he made two tackles in the United jersey. There was one where he was one-on-one with Fatawil when he's getting backed up and he goes to ground, wins the ball with a sliding tackle, and half of Old Trafford stands up and gives him a round of applause. And I was always told from any manager that I played with, look, if you work hard, the fans will put up with an awful lot from you. And I think that's what Marcus has to do. I think if he runs around and gives his all and empties the tank 9 times out of 10, that'll be enough from the United fans. And he's such a talented boy that the game won't pass him by. You know, when he gets the ball, he will make things happen. And he did contribute. I know he didn't score goals or have an assist today, but he kept the ball alive at the back post once or twice. And he did contribute in possession and out of possession. So a tick from Marcus Rashford. I do think there's levels and he will get better, but encouraging.
That's available to listen back to now in your OTB Football podcast feed for free. Our other commentary game came from Elland Road, where Leeds hit back late on to earn a 1-1 draw with Brentford. Speaking to our own man Stephen Doyle after the game, Brentford boss Keith Andrews said his side adapted well to a tough challenge from Leeds.
Keith, it's obviously a big challenge for your two centre-backs, especially coming up against a team like Leeds with so many tall players in the team, defending set pieces, that kind of thing. How good do you think they performed in that sense today?
Very different test the last weekend against Spurs, where they're looking to have to go more in on the tens and the way that they played today is obviously Calvert-Lewin, and then different ways of playing Okafor coming narrow, and the second half obviously Nemechek coming on and being an out and out too. It's always difficult, and our two boys I think in the main stood up really well to that. They set the tone for it in the first half, which was really, really important. Set pieces, massive part of both of the teams armoury, and I thought today we did particularly well from that.
And just how comfortable do you think Nathan Collins is now as a pair in a centre of defence now, rather than playing in a back three?
I don't know what percentage of our games last season we played a back three. We did it the last time here out of necessity more than anything, and we started the season with a few games playing a back three, but now a four is certainly we've played the vast majority and will do this season. I think we've seen it with Nathan. Now he's growing all the time. He's developing his leadership skills for someone who's so young. He keeps making strides. He leads by example on a daily basis, and he's so eager to develop his individual game, and I think that's in a really good place.
And just Quivey, and then a fingertip save towards the end of the game as well to keep your, at least to guarantee that point for your team.
Not particularly surprised to you. He's a top goalkeeper. That's what he's paid to do. He's in between the sticks. to do exactly that. He's in such a good rhythm of his respective game. He's in his peak years. Love having him here.
Yeah, and just finally, how much are your squad driven by the fact that they got so close to Europe last season? Is that kind of a motivating factor this season that they want to get? They feel they have a higher ceiling to get further up the table.
The aim for us is to get better. So better is pretty obvious where that brings us. I think naturally with the age profile of the group and the fact that we've kept the vast majority together that we wanted to, we've added real quality in different positions where we felt we needed to add a little bit of depth. I think if we keep really humble and hungry, which I have no doubt we will, we can achieve what we want to achieve this year, but there's a long way to go. We played two games.
Also on the final whistle, Brian Kerr said that Keith Andrews has been boosted by keeping largely the same squad they had last year.
Like we saw in that first 45 minutes with Brentford, they looked so comfortable on the ball. They looked like they were the home team. In fact, I felt for a large part of that 45 minutes. What is it about the way Keith Andrews has his team set up that makes them look so accomplished, I suppose, this early in the season?
Well, he has the same group of players that they had last year. They've had very little turnover in the summer. Just the maybe Jordan Henderson is gone, but other than that, it's more or less the same team as they had last year. A couple of additions in there. One of the centre backs, new centre back, but the majority of the players were there last year, so they know the formation. They know what's required. They've had time to work on their patterns of play. And you can see they're a very well-drilled team, and they've confidence in how they go about their business on the base of the form last year that took them to ninth place. They just got edged out of the European spot on goal difference, I think, to Brighton. So they were already in good nick at the end of last season. They look probably slightly better, I would say, in the couple of games they played this season. So the manager and the staff have obviously drilled into the players what's required from each of them in the positions. There's a flexibility in their play, though, I like as well. It's not like they're too regimented. I like the rotation of positions, the movement between Lewis Potter, particularly on the left-hand side, and Shade and Damsgaard. Damsgaard plays a kind of a number 10, as they call it nowadays. But he was often drifting out the left, and anywhere he thought he could find a bit of space, he was generally there. And he was dragging Ampadu out of the central midfield position, which opened up a space for Zangare and Yanal to exploit the space when Ampadu was pulled wide away from the middle. And the other centre midfield player was kind of left isolated for Leeds. So they're a very effective unit and they know they have a lot of pace in the front line. In the team, they probably didn't use it that much today as effectively as they did against Tottenham, particularly in the second half when Leeds opened up more and the full backs were in more advanced positions, centre halves were isolated. But they're a well drilled unit, and you have to hand it to Keith Andrews and the staff. They've done a very good job with the players they have.
Chelsea boss Xabi Alonso says Emi Martinez assured him he was ready to make his debut on the day his signing was confirmed. The World Cup winner featured in their 4-3 win at home to Brighton after completing his move from Aston Villa. Alonso says he's looking forward to the impact Martinez will have.
He has been in the building for 48 hours, so now we will have the whole week to prepare for the next one, and day by day we will feel his presence because he has this charisma, this aura to influence and to have a very positive connection with the rest of the team.
Enzo Fernandez missed the win over Brighton and his future is under increasing uncertainty, having been linked with a big money move to Manchester City. City boss Enzo Maresca worked with the Argentina midfielder at Chelsea and needs to bolster his ranks after the departures of Rodri, Bernardo Silva, Nico Gonzalez and Tijani Reinders this summer. Any potential move would likely be a club record, surpassing the £116 million paid for Elliot Anderson earlier this summer. Elsewhere yesterday, Sunderland beat Fulham 1-0. Sunderland boss Regis Labrie says they have to make the Stadium of Light a fortress.
It's important because you want to create a new dynamic, and it's a new chapter, and it's always different. So losing at Ipswich, we are disappointed after the game, but winning is a process. So learn from mistakes and then reset and go again.
Arsenal manager Mikel Arteta says Ezri Konsa has trained well and is available for selection for tonight's game against his former club Aston Villa. The England international moved to the Champions earlier this month, and Arteta's hopeful Konsa will get a good reaction from the fans at Villa Park.
Well, I hope so. I don't know. And I'm sure that Ezri will think the same way for what he's done for the club. But obviously, this is not down to us.
Meanwhile, Villa boss Unai Emery says they'll need time to get back to the level they were at after a number of departures this summer. Not only has Ezri Konsa left, Ollie Watkins and Emi Martinez are the latest to go ahead of tonight's game against the champions. But Emery says he's confident they'll make progress again.
The players we are signing, they're as well good players with the process they can have, but hopefully we can do as soon as possible. And we are trying to replace the players they are leaving with other players with a huge potential. Young players and the structure in the squad more or less is getting balanced.
That game at Villa Park kicks off at 8. Shamrock Rovers are 5 points clear at the top of the Premier Division. Rovers recovered from going 2 goals behind at the Ryan McBride Brandywell yesterday to earn a point in a 3-3 draw. Stephen Bradley's side extended the gap between themselves and Pats and Bows, and they also have a game in hand. Speaking to Shamrock Rovers in-house media channel, Bradley said his side's response was brilliant.
Yeah, look, we obviously started really slow and sloppy and made poor decisions. Derry started well, they get the goals. But how they responded was incredible, and that's why they're the best and have been. How people can question this group of men is beyond me, you know. They've got some character and some grit, and they showed that today.
Everton have been quoted a fee of about £40 million for Monaco striker Folarin Balogun, although he is expected to be available for a bit less. The USA international is keen to complete a move before tomorrow's deadline. Beto was set to leave Everton to join Fiorentina. Richarlison could rejoin from Tottenham, with Illiman and Jai going the other way. Balogun didn't feature in Monaco's win over Marseille on Sunday. Meanwhile, the Toffees are also looking to complete a loan deal to bring Jack Grealish back from Manchester City. Grealish wants to go back to Everton, where he spent last season on loan before he picked up an injury. And Joshua Zirkzee's proposed loan from Manchester United to Fiorentina is off, although it does appear that Juventus might come in for the Dutch international, although that depends on if Jonathan David goes to Atletico Madrid. Xerxes has been an unused sub for both of United's league games this season. That's about all we have time for in today's Football Daily. I'm Phil Egan, back with more tomorrow.
Off the Balls, Football Daily.
This is a free Off the Ball podcast. For access to the best football analysis from the likes of Kevin Kilbane, Dion Fanning, Owen Doyle, Keith Tracy, Henry Winter and lots more, become an Off the Ball member today.
Join in the obsession.
Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.